Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. Today on the show, we will be talking with Dr. Bob Lipke about the recently released school grades and how the system is misleading in a grading scale to make schools look better than they are truly doing. You definitely want to tune in for that one. If you think they're using the same 7-point grade scale you're used to, that is not the case. But before we get to that, I want to talk about subscribing to the show because it is the easiest way for you to tune in to What Matters North Carolina. All you need to do is search What Matters in North Carolina, whether it's an Apple Podcast, if you're an iPhone user, Podcast Addict, or another app, if you're an Android user. All you need to do is subscribe and get the show to your device automatically with no effort from you. Now, that's great for listening to What Matters, and you can use that to listen to old episodes as well. But what if you want to listen to other shows on the Freedom Action Network, like the NC Gundad Show or Free to Brew? The way to do that is go to freedomactionnetwork.com. At the top, click on the tabs, and you will find the other shows. Now, that's a great way for you to hear from us more, but we want to hear from you. The way to do that is to engage with us online on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, at What Matters NC. Again, that is at What Matters NC on Facebook and Twitter. Now, without further ado, we will speak with Dr. Bob Lipke. All right, Bob, thanks for joining us back on the show. It's good to have you back.
It is good to be here, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So when we have you on the show by now, I'm sure people know to expect education talk, but what specifically are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about specifically how North Carolina public schools are performing. Every year, NCDPI, the Department of Public Instruction, puts out a ton of data on how our public schools are performing. And so all of our listeners don't actually have to wade through it. I'm going to try to give people what I think they need to know.
All right, that sounds good. I mean, it's nice to know that it's not just the schools that are grading us, but they're being graded themselves.
That's correct.
So, yes, go ahead.
Okay. as I'm sure most people have been hearing about all the news reports about how our public schools have been doing each year, as I said before, the Department of Public Instruction releases data on a number of metrics that are intended to give people an idea of how our schools are doing, how our students are doing, and kind of where we are in relation to where we want to be and in relation ultimately to how we're performing relative to other states, et cetera. So today we're going to talk about some of those results, and also I'd like to make sure that people don't drown in the data. So I'm going to kind of take a step back and also take liberty at interpreting some of these results and also give our readers a little bit, our listeners a sense of what some of this means and, you know, kind of where the shortcomings of this data are. So why don't we start, first of all, with the pluses of what's been going on. We've been doing these, the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction has been administering these annual tests for quite some time, and you can get a pretty good benchmark of where we are relative to previous years and grades, et cetera. Anybody wants to dig more into that, they can do so by going to the NCDPI website. But what are the good things about the test results? Approximately 70% of our schools have exceeded expected growth. That's basically what that means is that students are learning what they should learn in basically a year, in a year's time. That's good news. Okay, the graduation rate is also up. I'll talk more on that, what that means and what it doesn't mean later on, but it's the 12th consecutive year that our four-year graduation rate is up. That I think a four-year graduation rate now is 86.5%, I believe it is, which means 4 years ago, or students that entered 4 years ago and were freshmen, approximately 86.5% of them have graduated 4 years later. That's a big improvement from about 10 years ago when that rate was about 68%. So we've put a lot of attention on that, and you know, we should be happy that that's up, and that that is improving to the extent that it has. So that's good. What I want to say is, and the people that are against, that come out and speak against these grades, grades that are assigned to public schools, what I want to say is, there's no perfect formula for doing this.
Right. And are you talking about people who are critical of the schools or people who are critical of the grading process?
The grading process.
Okay.
Because there's been endless debate amongst education reformers, advocates of school reform, whether they be in the public schools or private schools. You know, people all with good intentions of trying to get accurate assessments of what are going on. But no matter how you slice it, you're never going to get a perfect formula for grading schools, because all schools are different, and no grading system is going to properly weight,
right,
you know, the individual factors of all schools. But that said, it's interesting to know what has happened in schools, or in school, big large school systems that have taken particular issue with this effort to grade schools. I did want to highlight Wake County in particular, that has been very vocal about the shortcomings of the system of the way we currently assign grades to schools. And they've been vocal about it, and have had actually school presentations, and put out different communications from the Office of Wake County Public Schools that gives parents, you know, an idea of how the schools are performing and why they don't necessarily believe that the current way of weighting grades is a good reflection of what the schools are doing.
So they put out their own report card.
Yes. And
I wish I'd thought of that when I was in school. You know, go, you know, Mom, Dad, here's my report card, but I don't believe this is an accurate representation of my effort. Here's my report card as
well. They're doing it on a system wide basis, and even on you know, saying why scores for individual schools might not be accurate from their view. Now, I believe that's good. That's very good, because what it does is it gives parents more information. Mm-hmm. It continues the discussion. If that would have been the case years ago, we wouldn't have had the need to have these grades assigned to public schools. The impetus behind that was because we didn't have all this information, and we needed some ability to, you know, let parents know the quality of their schools. Now, these grades are imperfect at best, and everybody knows that, but to the extent that they provide an impetus for schools to respond and refine, you know, those metrics, that's great, and that's a plus.
Right. I mean, for me, this was came into play more when I was buying my house, I guess close to a couple years ago now, but my wife and I were looking at different school ratings on grade schools, is where we were looking, to say how good the school was in the area, because we knew we were going to probably have a child going in that school system. And I mean, so that, you're right, that information is so important and so wanted by people.
Yes, and that is very important. And currently, I mean, if you look at how the scores are divided, I think about 25% of the schools, public schools in North Carolina, are ranked as D or F schools. I believe that's the case. And that, which means the other 75%, you know, are A, B, or C schools. And yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So, you know, it comes out, the way the methodology comes out, if you actually look at it, it seems compressed to a bell curve, the way the methodology is constructed. And I'm not going to go into that, but About 25% of the schools are DRF, what are classified as low-performing school. Anybody familiar with that term knows that when a when a school is classified as low-performing, they have other that's kind of a tripwire for other things to happen as far as additional resources. Also, based on legislation that of about a year ago, those low-performing schools are eligible to apply to what are called innovation school districts, where a number of those schools will be put together and they'll be operated by basically a chartered management company under the authority of, you know, the state school board, but probably operated by a private entity, but a chartered management company. So that's one of the options. But the whole point behind all of this, again, is to provide parents with additional information. So that the 15-point scale, that is something I wanted to let people know about. The grading scale, the ABCDF scale, we talked about the 80-20 weighting between growth and test scores. When all of that is boiled down to a particular number, then that's gauged against a scale. And in this particular case, we're using a 15-point scale. In other words, an A is 85 to 100. A B is, you know, 84 to whatever would correspond to 15 points below that. But the width of the letters is 15 points. Now, why is that important?
Well, when I was in school, it was 7 points.
Yes.
92 was a B and an 84 was a C.
Okay, let's have a little classroom instruction here. What does that do to the floor, Matt?
It lowers it significantly.
That's right.
You go from a 69 being the highest F on down now. I mean, that drags it way down.
It's reduced to a 39. So F is 39 or less. D is 40 to 54. C is 55 to 69. B is 70 to 84, A is 85 to 100.
So in my mind, if you're a B school, you're a C school, maybe.
Are you saying that these scores might be inflated?
I'm saying those scores are definitely inflated. I'm mad enough that they were on a 10-point scale for my younger sisters. I'm already mad enough about that, a 15-point scale for schools.
This is a big thing, and you don't hear it talked about much. Actually, the way the initial legislation was written, it was supposed to be moved back to a 10-point scale about a year or two ago, but they extended the time on the 15-point scale.
Right, I remember that. And that's just playing with numbers. Playing with numbers to get better letters.
That's right. That's what it's doing. And so what's happening here is we're basically fudging. We're fudging the data. And you're not gonna hear many people talk about this, but this is important because it's basically the grid. It gives you the grid through which all this data is viewed.
And what does an A mean when an A is you know, this wide of a scale? Does an A mean the same thing as you think it means, or as I think it means, or as the average person out there who hears this is an A school, or this is a B school? But here's the caveat: this is a B school with 71 points.
When you change the metrics, I mean, you just basically change the floor.
71 was a D, a low D.
This changes the F to 39 or less.
That is insane to me, because I mean, those numbers are ingrained in your mind. You know what? As soon as you have a number, you know what letter goes with it. And I go 71. I go D, low D. Bad D.
Now, the impetus behind this from this school and from the administrators, school administrators, principals, and teachers was that if you placed all these higher standards, Common Core is what they're talking about, and you put in these higher academic standards and you still had the same scale for grading, you would basically have flushed, you know, all the schools into failing grades.
And that's what it takes.
It would have been a PR disaster. So this is this was, the reprieve was granted, and the 15-point scale, I believe, will at least be used for the next 2 years.
So a way, I guess, to see through that for the parents, for the people who are interested, when they're reading these news, these media accounts, these news stories about the grades, I guess they need to be looking for a number. Because if they just take a letter,
That's what's happening in the reporting. Is that some reporters will talk about the 15-point scale, but it's not going to be in the lead. It'll be like the 37th paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the lead stories, the problem with the lead stories are that they don't mention this. And a lot of reporters think it's minutia, but it's not, because it basically is the prism through which you view a lot of these grades. And if you change, obviously, if you change the width of these categories, it's going to significantly impact, you know, the number of grades in each particular category.
Of course.
So we've widened it, and, you know, little has been reported on it.
So that's, I guess that's the overarching point for the, I mean, this is, you know, informative for everyone listening, is to look for the numbers, not just take a letter and accept that, right?
Yes. I mean, realize that this, you know, and I think legislators, it's my understanding that there was a lot of pressure on legislators to adopt this.
Mm-hmm.
The fear was that all public schools would look, a lot of public schools would look bad here. Unnecessarily, they're trying to raise up school performance. And if there was an emphasis, I mean, there's been an ongoing emphasis on trying to improve academic achievement, but if you basically did that and then, you know, went with a template that suggested wholesale failure in a lot of areas, it would have, you know, been, it would have deep sixed a lot of efforts. So that was, I think, some of the thinking behind granting the reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there's an expectation amongst legislators and amongst people in the public school and the education community that academic achievement will have to improve. And, you know, without that, you know, we're basically, you know, it's bordering on fraud, in my view.
All right, well, Bob, thanks for coming on and talking with us about the school grades and really talking with us about how the way the grading system isn't necessarily the grading system that you and I went through.
That's correct, Matt. And to the extent that, you know, that kind of spurs additional discussion, I think that's good. So, and I think parents can understand, you know, what's really behind the numbers. That's good for everyone.
Definitely. All right, good deal. All right, thanks to Bob, and thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning in for another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. I will not bore you with the details of how you can subscribe again, but make sure you're subscribed, follow along on social media, and check out other shows on the Freedom Action Network, and have a great day.